This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Padma Shri Dr. Sunil Kothari, a scholar, historian, and critic of Indian dance, and he's here in Kuala Lumpur. He will be speaking on a Bangalore-born dancer, Ram Gopal, whom a Polish dance critic dubbed the Nijinsky of India. Ram Gopal's dancing work took him all over the world, and his role in dance earned him an OBE, Order of the British Empire, in 1999. He was 87 years old then. Dr. Sunil, I don't suppose many Malaysians know Ram Gopal. How significant is his earning an OBE, the Order of the British Empire?
You have in Malaysia a parallel man by name Ramli Ibrahim. When I first met Ram Gopal, and later on when I met Ramli, I could see the similarity between Ram Gopal and Ramli Ibrahim. He was half Burmese, and his father was a Rajput man, and very handsome man, like Adonis. And when he performed in London, when he performed in America, he met Cecil DeMille. He was a wonderful, charismatic man, and he earned for India classical Bharatanatyam worldwide reputation. There was another great legend, Uday Shankar, who danced with Anna Pavlova. He brought Indian dance to the world stage, but the classical Indian dance was brought by Ram Gopal.
I found this documentary on Ram Gopal on YouTube, made by the South Asian Dance Alliance Archive.
It was at the Cambridge Theatre, and as far as I can recall, it was the first time that a performance of this kind on another continent had appeared in the West End. We both were profoundly both moved and interested by it.
Alicia Markova was in the audience with Anton Dolin, so two very famous ballet dancers. He had the high society going. He was invited to go and have tea with the Queen Mother, Queen Mary. Indian dancers in a West End stage for 2 weeks, this would be unheard of now. It was so packed and so sold out that they had to extend the season by another 2 weeks, and there were queues outside.
We also saw the immense power and strength of this eagle dance, which was visually an extraordinary thing to see. This was a revelation to us that here was a whole area of artistic and aesthetic culture that we had never encountered before. And I think was also rather humbling in the fact that we in the West had perhaps something to learn.
If you know the history, ultimately it is shared history on which we can see the future. The present generation, if they do not know history, they will never know how great our country was. And that was very important for anywhere in the world to know the history first.
What did Ram Gopal contribute to Indian dance? You say he was from the classical Indian dancing tradition, but he got his OBE in the UK.
He later on decided to settle down in London. He made big name. He met Nijinsky, he met a number of people. And then when he thought that the British people were able to admire him, we were still at that time when he decided to stay in London, we were not independent. But after independence, he produced a wonderful dance drama like ballet on Taj Mahal. And when people saw, they were quite taken aback that an Indian dancer, he spoke excellent English. He charmed away. The birds would fly away. The money would fly from your pocket to his pocket, the way we'll talk about it, and again give you a vision of dream. He built up the glory of Indian dance, the classical Indian dance, which at that time, because India had become independent in 1947, by that time, lot of intellectuals had come up to claim Indian civilization back from the British. At one point, British were not interested in Indian dance. They thought it was notch. It was something done by only the prostitutes and all. But there were women like Rukmini, who did Bharatanatyam, Ram Gopal. Number of people brought back the stature of Indian classical dance, which had philosophy, speculative thought, it had a wonderful ideas of communication, the mythology, the stories, and that built up a great pride in India. That is what Ram Gopal did. He settled down in London. He traveled around the world. And then when he got the OBE, it came as an ultimate recognition from British who ruled once upon us.
What did he do to catch the eye of somebody so that he was able to go on the world stage? Most of us who grew up in small little towns, we don't catch anybody's attention. What led to his going onto the world stage?
He was very young but charismatic. He was a stunningly handsome man. If you will see the photographs in the talk that I'll give, you can't believe that literally God has descended from the heaven. He would dress up himself in marvelous, wonderful, wonderful crowns, jewelry, and he'd keep himself bare-bodied, except the small, beautiful clothes below. But when he would appear, the women and men, they go like that. Now, that magic he had, to the point that one of his Polish critic friend, he brought Nijinsky to see Ram Gopal in London. Now, that sort of charisma, very few dancers have. Part, I think, Ramli has. I do believe from Malaysia, he's an icon. And his taste, understanding, exposure to the world, literature, performances, etc., was amazing about Ram Gopal. He charmed away people by his good talk, but more than the good talk, the art of dance that he performed was magnificent.
You talked a lot about his charisma. In a performer, you being a dance critic, how much does the skill contribute to the dance, or how much does a dancer's charisma contribute to the performance?
Unless you have very sound training in technique, you cannot win anybody. There are people who know the technique very well, and they will see with X-ray eyes whether the technique is perfect or not. But in case of people like Ram Gopal, Uday Shankar, they transcended the technique in a magnificent manner, where charisma played an important role. The moment when the curtain goes up and he's seated in a Buddha pose, and when you see the magnificence and the beauty, it's like, you go like that. And that is where charisma worked. And then the mouth of world publicity goes on. Everybody says, have you seen Ram Gopal? Haven't you seen Ram Gopal? Must go and see Ram Gopal. And that worked. It was like snowballing. And because he had a very good training from the greatest master of Bharatanatyam, in South India, when he came back from London, he went straight to the roots and worked with the guru. Relentless practice for 14 hours, 18 hours, and that built him up. And also he learned Kathakali, the storytelling with the mask and all. Learned one dance of the Garuda, the bird. And he created his own work called Golden Garuda, which is shown in the film also. The mythology which archetypes brings you images. When you are very young, you learn the story of Ramayana, of the Mahabharata. Those stories remain with you from childhood. And the metamorphose in a performance of Ram Gopal, you see, my God, God has descended on the earth, from heaven. That magic was there.
In your presentation that's coming up on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, how will your presentation help us better appreciate or get to know this incredible performer?
The very fact that I knew him personally, I traveled with him personally, I was part of the film he was being made on him. And there was a very French, very well-known filmmaker. He was going to make a film on him, but he died in an accident. But his wife took over, Madame Claude Del Maurice, and she made a film on him. Now, when you watch the film, you start getting to know what was his secret. And fortunately, in recent 5 years ago, we found out a film made on him, a small 8mm film where he is young men dancing. Now such archival material was a blessing to know that he was dancing sometime in 1938 and in this manner was unbelievable. He was very old when he gave a commentary on that particular film, when the film was made on him, interviews and all. Now all that's been put up in a small film, and 37 years ago I was very lucky when he came to India, we interviewed him for the archive of the National Academy of Dance and Music, that I have got 30 minutes of his interview. And you can find out the way he talks, the way he explains the stories, the way he talks about the Indian mythology, the history, the archives, the philosophy. everything. He had an ability to capture you like that. Fortunately, we were able to get it to share here in Malaysia.
You have kind of alluded to it that when we live in a time where folks don't quite pay attention to history, and I'm talking about history in sense of the big events that occurred, how significant is it to record and capture and to archive the history of an individual performer? What's important about that?
The public memory is short, according to me, the performing art. The more people write about a performing dancer, anecdotes, stories, legends, gossip, everything contributes to the persona of a dancer. And the more people read about it, the more people want to know more about it. And they become public property. They don't remain a private persona. Ramli Ibrahim is a public property of Malaysia. People would like to know everything what he does, etc. Similarly, when you archive these things and it becomes accessible, now with the technology, digital, etc., we have got films made, you have got YouTube, you have got everything possible. And that is also a part of archiving contemporary history of Indian dance or dance in Malaysia or wherever it is. I do believe that the more the young generation who is techno-savvy and is able to access it, the more they see, the more they learn. People and God doesn't make Ramli Ibrahims and Ram Gopals and Uday Shankar anymore. I have not seen in my lifetime again somebody like Ram Gopal or Uday Shankar or Ramli and many other people. There are few. But when you see them, you start feeling a great pride about somebody whom you had known, somebody who contributes to the nation's civilization, the greatness of the civilization of India or of Malaysia, etc. I do believe that archiving that way helps a lot. Not that everybody is aware of this parallel thinking about why archiving is necessary, but I do believe when I started writing on Indian dance and when I saw Indian dance, I went to various libraries. I went to various archives which were available in India. People will advise me, go there, go there. The living archives were the great gurus. They themselves were absolutely example for me how dance epitomized in their body and how they created the dance. For instance, Odissi dance was only some 60, 70 year old. From the old history of archives, the sculpture and all, it had been recreated with a wonderful memory. And today, even one of the best dancers in the world is Ramli of Odissi. He'll be coming with his company and people wait with bated breath to see what he's going to bring out. So sometimes there is an over-top view about the global way the dance forms come up. Now, the connections between Malaysia and connection between India build up, they bring the bridge, and that has to be seen by people. The Malaysian community, the Indian community will have to know that there is a big history which binds us together, and that can be done through archive. I'm sure in my country we have got one archive called Sangeet Natak Academy, Academy of Dance, Drama and Music. And fortunately, the moment India got independence and became republic, by 1953, they established three academies for dance, drama and music, one for plastic arts, painting, Lalit Kala, and one for literature. It was a role model by Pandit Nehru, our prime minister, on the French academies. But it helped immensely because we started recording. By the time many people passed away, the greatest dancers passed away, the musicians passed away, but we have recordings of them. Some old recordings are there, but when you see, you get a glimpse of it. Oh, this is, it opens your mind. I'm sure the young generation is very bright today. They have access to technology. They have also inquiring mind. And if they know, they will take pride into it. And therefore, it is necessary to have the archives.
You have mentioned state-funded archives, archives driven by those who rule and govern a country. And to some extent, I see India as a civilization and a culture that has been literate for a long, long time. You have your Vedas written. Malaysia is a culture of merchants, and perhaps merchants don't keep records the way people who deal with mythologies and stories. We don't have good records of what makes us, what drives us. What should be said to people who have not quite seen the importance of this, to say, no, you cannot just rely on young people looking up YouTubes. You need to have a place. What can the performing arts people say to these people who are the authorities?
Either you cultivate a public opinion about people who have vision and who are leaders of the society, maybe a politician or maybe a prime minister, And somebody who wields power over public in terms of sharing the greatness of a nation. Now, if the people are fired by that sort of enthusiasm, that, oh, my country is great and we must share it. And the moment various media, whether it is television, electronic media, films, print media, e-portals, etc., all this if we harness in a manner which will make people understand that it's so important. I do believe when there are corporate shows, specially meant for dance, for people, for entertainment in India, as you know very well, that we have the big industry of film, which is called Bollywood. And it has become like a second, national dance form, which is a melange of so many things. It's very hybrid, etc. But the filming is very good. The dancers are beautiful. Their bodies are beautiful. And people love to watch them. The corporate sector wants to watch Bollywood. But very cleverly, the dancers who know that we have to cultivate these people, they also bring in classical dance form. And they say you have to also see the classical dance form. Sometimes some corporate fellow gets insane. He says, wow, this is great. I would like to support them. Somewhere it is sometimes the opportune moment which comes. And we should always look out for the opportune moment. My temperament is very optimist. I never say die. I believe now or never. And I insist that if I meet a top man, I will use my card. I will use my position as a Padma Shri. Like Datuk, where your country is, if you get that great honor from the President of India, use it shamelessly, blatantly, and say, sir, you must come and watch dance with me. And sometimes use the statue of the most beautiful looking girl to go with me. I say, sir, I would like to introduce you to this great Apsara. Heavenly woman has come down for us to greet you, to do namaste. Sir, help us. It works.
Padma Shri Dr. Sunil Kothari will be speaking about Indian dancer Ram Gopal. This illustrated talk will include video screenings, one of which is a rare interview with Ram Gopal. This event brought to KL by the Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose Indian Cultural Center and the High Commission of India in Kuala Lumpur. It will take place in the Indian Cultural Center in Menara Central Vista on Jalan Sultan Abdul Samad in Brickfields this Wednesday, tomorrow, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Admission is free, but for reservations and inquiries, call 03-2276-3492. I'll repeat that, 03-2276-3492. Padma Shri Dr. Sunil Kothari will also be the guest of honor at a group art exhibition, The Blue Mountain, a tribute to the late Dr. Dinanath Pathy. This exhibition features paintings by visual artists of Odisha and will open at Sutra House this Saturday at 8 p.m. There will be a performance by the dancers of Sutra Dance Company before they depart to the Konark Dance Festival. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.